Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this gorgeous Monday afternoon. No score between the Brewers and the Bravos through three innings. Going to do a little NFL zingers, as we do every Monday on the program. So with that being said, let's turn things over to the desk where Elijah Campbell is standing by.
All right, a wild weekend. It's got a lot of good things to touch on. So we'll go ahead and get started here. Number one, the Bills rock the Chiefs on the road on Sunday Night Football last night in a delayed Sunday Night Football game. But how concerned should we be about the Kansas City Chiefs, who are sitting in last place in their division at 2-3?
Concerned? I mean, you're concerned. But like I said earlier, I still think you give them the benefit of the doubt because they're the Chiefs. But they do have real issues. I mean, defensively, they're struggling. You can put up all the points in the world, but if you can't stop anybody, that's obviously a problem. So I would say there's a certain level of concern right now, but it's five games, so let's see.
There's real concern. Their defense is not very good. Their offensive line has not been very good. Patrick Mahomes, times look like he's running around for his life. Patrick Mahomes has not been great. He's missing a lot of receivers. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. He's missing a lot. Now you've got their running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, out a couple of weeks at least. Sprained MCL.
It's hard to
at
really.
At Washington, at Tennessee, Giants home, next three games, not murder's row. So they've got the opportunity here to close out the month of October with some wins. I mean, those are some. Well, Washington's not very good. The Giants are not very good. And, you know, Titans here. That'll be a huge
test.
It's going
to be a huge game.
I think they'll be there at the end. However, you do see it happen, surprisingly so sometimes, to teams that are Super Bowl winners, even Super Bowl and definitely Super Bowl losers, where it stuff just snowballs. It just snowballs. That would be a big break for the rest of the AFC if that happens. I'm not ready to say it that yet, though. I think they'll be there at the end.
All right, number two, the Chargers won a thriller against the Browns yesterday. An incredible game if you guys got to watch it.
It was awesome.
That was a lot of points, a whole lot of fun. And the Cardinals won a game in the exact opposite fashion, a defensive-oriented game, which is ironic considering that team likes to put up yards and points. So, that being said, which of these first-place teams, surprising first-place teams, is more surprising and which is more sustainable?
Well, let me just lead this. Let's see, as I pull our predictions before the season began. Myself, Chargers wild card team. Arizona Cardinals playoff wild card team. Willie, Chargers playoff wild card team. Chase, Chargers playoff wild card team. Willie did not have Arizona in. Chase had Arizona in. So, to answer your question, I don't think it's a surprise to us. Jason and I had Arizona and the Chargers both as playoff teams.
No, but I did think that Arizona.
Willie had the Chargers in.
I actually had both of them losing yesterday. I thought that Arizona would come down to earth a little bit. 49ers playing desperate ball to stay in this race. I thought that they would get that one. I was wrong. That was my silly underdog pick. And I missed that. Good call on yours, by the way, D-Mac.
I do think that
the Bears. Stop, yeah. Bears.
I do think that the Chargers, now that they've already got the win against KC, they've got the win pretty decisively against the Raiders, I think it's more sustainable. The Cardinals, I give them full marks, but I still think there's some battles that they're going to have. And, hey, as I say this, they thumped the Rams. They won the game. The game was over in the middle of the third quarter. But I still think they're going to come back around some. I think they're going to come back around some. A lot of tough battles in that division. Of course, now Russell Wilson's out for a while.
Yeah, that hurts.
It's amazing how things evolve, and it looks so different than it did even a couple weeks ago.
And the 49ers are 2-3.
49ers got a lot of injury issues too.
Yeah. I mean, The bottom line is they both look like the real deal. So I think the answer is I trust them both. They look like they both have franchise quarterbacks. They both can do a ton on offense. I would say Arizona has the better defense. But right now when you look at this Chargers team, they don't have to have a top-tier defense because right now they can score at will. They're just that good offensively.
We were so – well, I say we. Darren, you and I were so wrong on Herbert. Like right now,
I mean, we've admitted it,
but I mean, it
times
just,
on the show,
it just like it's crazy to see just how he's been playing. You mentioned Russell Wilson,
and by the way, that's not going to change. He's the real deal.
No, he's totally the real deal. You mentioned Russell Wilson, believed originally to be out 6 weeks. Some are saying it could be four.
Ooh.
Would be the
Could
be four.
I thought you were going to say longer.
Yeah, the doctor that did the surgery, I was reading on ESPN yesterday, said that there's a chance it could be four, that he could be back. But the Geno Smith show in Seattle.
Looks like, I guess the point is, it looks like Seattle and San Fran are in big trouble.
Yep.
Right? Two teams that we predicted to get into the playoffs, looks like they're in big, big trouble.
It doesn't help that that division outside of those two is obviously very loaded. Number three, field goal fiascos. Obviously, there was a total of six field goals missed or extra points in the Packers-Bengals game alone. All in all, yesterday, there were 22 total kicks, field goals or extra points, missed during yesterday's games, and we still have a Monday night game tonight. So my question is, what's up with that? And does that make you feel a little better about the Titans kicker situation that we've kind of mulled over all offseason long?
Viscaino, isn't that the name of the kicker for the Chargers? He stinks. They need a new kicker. Well, he's awful.
And, of course, it's bringing back nightmares. The Chargers have had nightmares in the kicking game the last 5-6 years. You can go back through them.
Well, that guy is not the answer. Oof. They need to boot him along with his boots, because he can't even kick an extra point. He's awful.
But I do want to throw this at you guys, because with the Titans, you guys acted like they didn't care about the position. It is a little harder to find a kicker, it seems like, these days. Isn't it strange? Like, they're kind of going through a phase right now, league-wide. It's not just the Titans.
Well, and here's the thing on that. And Bullock missed a point yesterday.
He did.
Missed a PAT. I think it's not so much.
I'd say he's been really good.
He's been fine. I would.
I don't know about really good. He's been fine.
Solid. I'd keep riding him and
I'd
not necessarily worry about Ficken. But
For now,
I think the problem is it's not so much that it's a league problem. It's that I don't think these guys are being developed in college. I mean, college kicking is atrocious across the board. And so I think you're just not seeing a good crop of kickers.
I feel like it's always been like that.
I agree, though, Willie. I was getting ready to say the same thing. I think it's always been atrocious.
Okay, so
why
has it? Are we just now noticing it because they moved the extra point back?
That's
a few
big
years
thing.
Ago,
there's a lot more extra point misses, more than I thought there would be since they moved it back.
The
standard is so high for making. We've talked about the career percentage. You go back, you look at decade by decade, it goes up every decade. And now if you're not hitting 80% or maybe between 80 and 85% of your field goals, you're considered not getting the job done, where that's changed from the years ago. But, Darren, you're about to talk. I agree with you. It's become a sneaky thing. It's like yesterday there was all kinds of point afters being missed around the same time in the early games.
No, I'm saying they need to be praised. That was a sneaky good decision because extra points had become really – really routine and boring. And it's like, just why even do it? Just give them the point. Like, they never miss extra points. And now the extra point is no longer a given in the NFL. And so that has been a really, really sneaky good rule change by the league, because it's no longer you can get up and go, you know, grab a drink or not pay attention to the extra point. You have to. Just say that again, Elijah.
It's not automatic.
We're not even done. We're not even to Monday Night Football yet. And how many misses between field goals and extra points just yesterday or this week alone in the NFL?
22. Six of them coming in one game.
Just digest that. 22 misses yesterday. And I don't remember. Were there any on Thursday night?
There was
one.
Was
that just... Okay, so 21 yesterday, one on Thursday night, and we've got the Monday night game tonight. That's crazy.
Are they trying? Like, I don't know that they're trying more. I think they are trying more. Like, it's expected now. If it's 48-49, like, oh, yeah, you got to make that. And if it's 55-56, like, oh, yeah, our guy can make that. Whereas I don't think that was always the case. Like, 15, 20 years ago, it was like, man, I don't think we should try it from 55. Right. I don't think our – now it's like, I don't think you even give it a second thought. You give it a shot. So I do think there's more – expect the bar is higher for kickers. And when you do that, you're going
to
miss more.
You guys remember when Fitcher sent Baronis out against the Colts to kick from 60. At that time, that was like,
that was
what the world?
Like, well, yeah, this is crazy.
Huge.
This is crazy.
I was at that
because
game.
If you miss, then they get the ball at the 50.
But, and it turned out to be a great piece of coaching by Jeff Fisher because he made Nudgee use the timeout because he sent out the kicking unit. Then then Jeff calls a timeout. Then he sends out the punting unit. Dungy calls a timeout. Then he sends the kicker back out again, and we know what happened. But at that time, that was like just, what are you doing? Like, why would you even try that? And now it's not so much that, you know, that way this year or this time.
All right. Number four, my favorite award to give out in this segment, the Denny Green Award.
But they are who we thought they were.
So for this week's nominees are three teams that started off the season 3-0 and have since lost two straight. Those teams are the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Panthers. So which of these three teams would you guys award your Denny Green Award?
But they are who we thought they were.
I'm so pissed at the Panthers.
Boy, that was Gag City.
And you know why I'm pissed, because I showed you.
I know.
Needed
Gag
one
City.
Not only did I have a money line parlay, but I had them in a spread parlay, which they were covering for most of the day. And I would have hit both of those for a substantial amount. But no, they had to gag it away.
Sam Darnold, three picks.
Ugh.
Ouch.
So in the spirit of the question, you're asking like...
And the Jets were like, see, we told you.
Who we think is still good or that...
Who like, is, yeah, which of those 3-0 teams is not who we... Kind of like, not disappointing because they all started out 3-0 above expectation. But who has fallen back to earth adequately? Most out of those teams.
I had Carolina.
I was to say,
going into
Carolina
playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, that was my flyer to get in. So
I'd probably say Denver.
They're back to earth.
Denver.
Well, you remember when Darren jump out early and say, okay, Denver beat the Giants, the Jets, and then who was the other one? It was another really bad.
Nobodies. Three nobodies.
Yeah. So they have.
Jags.
It was the Jags. So.
The Broncos.
That makes
and
more
the
sense. I'm going to go with the Broncos as my Dennis Green Award.
The Broncos and the Raiders aren't very
Although the Broncos still had a chance. They got back in it. They had a shot there at the end. It came up short.
But they are who we thought they were.
Anytime I can squeeze them, Denny.
We let them off the hook.
Here's the thing about Carolina. I think they're good enough. I think, Willie, you're going to be right if they can just keep – they just – and, look, I get it. I mean, think about it. It's the equivalent of Derrick Henry to the Titans. They just can't win without Christian McCaffrey. They can't win a game without
it. It is a little different when he's in there.
If he's in there, they're humming along. If he's out, they lose. I mean, tell me the availability of McCaffrey the rest of the season. I'll tell you how Carolina's season plays out. Because their defense is really good, and they can win games with him. They can't win without him. I mean, we hope we never see it, but if 22's ever out, I mean, good luck. I just don't think the Titans – I think the same thing would happen to the Titans. I'm just not sure they could win games without Derrick Henry. I just don't. I think Carolina's in the same boat. They can't win without McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But they are who we thought they were.
And lastly, number five, we had our first NFL game in London this season.
Ugh.
With the NFL sending over the Falcons and the Jets. So what I want to know from you guys, which is a greater act of American aggression? Sending over the Falcons and the Jets, or the Falcons deciding to wear those horrific red and black two-tone uniforms.
Ooh,
those are
interesting. I didn't mind them too bad.
You know what? I actually like those unis.
I didn't think they were that bad. So I will say it was really interesting for me to watch Zach Wilson look like a completely different quarterback. If you read it, what is being written about that game.
He looked like Joe Milton.
All of the throws that he made in the second half of the game. Oh, he did. He did have
he did.
Some Joe
he was
Milton
overthrowing
and,
everybody.
And think about the throws he made, where we're all blaming the Titans defense, which rightfully so. But he had some of the same opportunities against the Falcons, and he threw the ball. It might as well have landed in Loch Ness. Like, he was so far off. Like, the ball was landing outside of the white onto the bench. In fact, people on the sidelines, like the equipment people or the people from London, I don't know who got to stand on the sideline, but they were making catches.
And that first half pick, oh, boy, you talking about a rookie. It was like, what in the world was that?
It was the greatest thing ever for Arthur Smith. He's like, boy, this is great. Because I'm thinking if I'm Arthur Smith, I'm thinking, well, the guy looks like he's making some strides here, Zach Wilson. But he regressed in a big way.
Yeah,
had these exact same throw to Corey Davis that he had. He hit him on a touchdown. Roll out, kind of a go deep, I'll hit you.
Right.
Corey Davis has got two steps on his man. If he drops it down the chimney like he did against the Titans, it's a touchdown. But he missed him by 10 yards.
It was bad. I'll tell you this. I told Willie this earlier, Darren. I was running around before the Titans game, and so I had it on Sirius XM, was listening to our buddy Wes Durham.
Our colleague Wes Durham. Correspondent Durham.
Wes was making me laugh because Wes does not hold back with his thoughts on certain things. So I thought that, like, he was giving it to Arthur or he was giving it to somebody on a call he didn't like, and just the commentary was great.
He was getting a little worried because he's seen, remember how bad the Falcons gave away a bunch of games last year, and the Jets did get back into the game.
I thought they were coming back.
Yeah.
I really did.
The NFL's smart. Because it doesn't matter what
people just like to go and wear the jerseys. So
what
like
splatter show they send to London, they'll sell it out.
Exactly, I mean,
they love it over there, and so
they're just glad to have a game.
We're not going to waste any good games, you
That's
know.
A
here in the States,
stadium too.
I mean,
it looks good.
It's packed. It doesn't matter what splatter show game they send over there. It's packed.
Everybody's got their own jersey. It's all the teams are represented. You know.
And how many more are they playing this year? Because I know that
there's
was
one next week, right?
At Wembley.
Yeah, and they're sending the Jags. So
of course they are. Like I said, they doesn't matter what splatter show game
they
send
annual.
Over there.
It's the annual Jaguars game in London.
That's a war crime.
Soon to be the London Jags.
It is the Jaguars. Dolphins, and the Dolphins have been over there too. Of course, it's the Dolphins and Jags.
It was cool when the Titans got to do it.
Yeah. But they're not going to send over their heavy hitters.
No.
They're just not. Because they don't need to. They don't need them to sell the tickets.
Well, and the heavy hitters are going to say, no, we're good. We'll stay
so
here.
So
congratulations we'll take our
home game. To the Lions. And I'm trying to think who – the Jags – The Jets, the usual suspects.
I feel like there's
London
more
games.
I feel like there's more than one more.
I thought they added one this year.
Because they didn't get to do one last year. Is that why?
Yeah.
I think so. Dolphins, Jags. I will say this. You know, the silly thing is we complain, but here we are. It's 8:30 in the morning and we're watching. I mean,
Dolphins, Jags. I guess that's it.
It's the 8:30 game, and we'll be watching as much as we sit there and go, gosh, really?
I know. I woke up, turned on the TV, and had that game on.
Yep. No doubt. Is that everything?
Oh.
Is that a ground rule double?
No, it's in.
He raised his hand. I didn't know what was going
on.
Well,
he dropped it. I think he hit
hurt.
Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah. Oh,
Nashville Sound.
Yep.
I mean, it takes a lot to score against these teams. Ian Anderson and Freddie Peralta are dealing right now, so a run could be everything. So Kane is still down. Man on third, two out.
I mean, he just missed that too, I thought. Let's see. Because Duvall kept going there.
Ooh.
Yeah, he just lost.
Is that a catch?
Ooh.
Is that a catch?
The NFL.
Is that a catch?
The ground caused the fumble.
I think that's a catch.
And if it is a catch, it's an amazing catch. But I don't think they're going to give it to him.
No?
I don't think they'll give it to him.
Can they review it?
Catch, into the wall, down, ball
it's
still in the
glove.
It's a
snow cone.
And then it hits the ground.
Yeah, but it's
a
snow cone.
The ground cannot cause a fumble. Come on.
It's snow cone.
But you have to maintain possession through the whole play.
He did.
I don't know, but I don't know what the rule is, honestly.
If they call this a catch, Calvin
Johnson. His butt, he's down. The play is dead. The ball is out. It's a catch. No, I don't
know. I don't think it's
a catch. I don't know what they're going to say.
I just hope. I mean, it's an amazing effort. He ran a long way. Oh man, he hit that wall hard.
He sure did.
See, the NFL's had a hard enough time determining what is a catch. The MLB has enough problems on their plate to try that thing themselves.
Think about some of these plays. I mean, there was the crazy play I described in the ground rule double last night, which saved the Red Sox. It was the biggest stroke. I think it's the luckiest thing that's ever happened in a game. And then last night you had a Reggie Jackson 1978. Where, Yasmani Grandal kind of intentionally, unintentionally lets himself get hit with the baseball on a throw home, which was a huge break for the White Sox to keep them alive. So now you have this play. Is that a catch or not a catch? Right now they're worried about Lorenzo Cain, which is the right thing to do. But I'm wondering what the discussion is as to whether he actually caught that ball.
Do you know why I love going to the Sounds games? Because just think about when I got Booster. To the first pitch. And our boys, our team was there. We got to go out on the field that Sunday night, late August. We watched Lorenzo Cain, Vogelbach, and Rosario, because they were playing Gwinnett, all in that game. And here they are playing in an MLB playoff game. Like, that's what's cool about it, right? Look at the guys. These are three guys in this series that were there playing for the Sounds in Gwinnett in late August.
Robbie Stanley really enjoyed Vogelbach.
He certainly did.
Cole on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, wants to know, do you guys think Urban will fly back with the team from London?
Listen to what Urban Meyer said today in his press conference. He said he likes the team's offensive identity right now. He said he loves the 250-250. And they're like, what do you mean 250-250? He loves rushing for 250 and passing for 250.
And somebody did a study.
Oh, boy.
Actually saw that quote, and they were like, there was a funny tweet. Somebody said, looks ahead for the Rutgers game, where you can actually do that. It's like he still thinks he's coaching college football, where you might actually have a chance to do that. But somebody looked it up. That has been done in the last 52 years.
Like five times?
33 times.
33 times? In how many years?
52.
And that's what Urban Meyer wants the new identity.
That's
what
you're looking for. 250. Okay, something that's been done less than one time per year for 52 years in the NFL. The pro game is a little different than the college game.
The best comment I saw on that tweet was someone said, 500 yards over a 17-game season seems doable.
That's good.
Does anybody else think his emotions on the sidelines? It's it's a little uncanny for an NFL coach to do what he does, right? Throughout the course of that game yesterday, he is all over the place, bending down, grabbing his head, oh no, fist pumping and
the
jumping up and down.
Great. I love it.
Do what?
I said the gifs that come from all that are great.
Yeah, I know, they are. All right, Bravos have a runner at third, so they said no catch.
Real
two
quick,
a
couple of Preds notes. Connor Ingram has cleared waivers, so he will report to Milwaukee, and Michael McCarron has also cleared waivers. So there you go. There's two roster moves that have been made.
So if they put Olivier on the injured list, which I'm guessing they will, then you'll have your 23.
That's your opening night
roster. They'll keep the 8D with Harper, Benning, Borowiecki as 6, 7, 8 in some order. And Grimaldi will be the extra along with, well, I guess by today's lines, he would be the extra guy with Tomasino. So they'll keep Tomasino. And that's your 23 right now. You're set.
Kyle Turris also has been.
He's out there if you want him, but he cleared, apparently, because I haven't seen anybody. Nobody took him.
All right, we'll come back. More on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show is presented by Croatian CBD, products curated for life. By the way, you can support Stars this Saturday by running, walking, or you can even boogie. Nashville Striders 21st Annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, or you can show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. No score between the Brewers and the Braves.
Heck of a pitching
duel. So they head to the fifth.
Yeah. They were able to get around. Peralta got around the triple that popped out of Lorenzo Cain's glove, and Cain did remain in the game.
Yep. He walked it off.
He did. He jogged it off even.
He did. It's like, Darren, that's what you got to tell your boys sometimes, right? Just got to walk it off. Rub a little dirt on it. Be all right.
Anderson, Ian Anderson.
They get an ice cream too.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, nice. Ian Anderson, once a Vanderbilt signee that went pro out of high school, has struck out six in the first four innings. He's really got a great mix of fastball, changeup, curveball. But he just grazed Julio Urias. Not Julio Urias, but...
did that get him?
Luis Urias.
Luis.
Did that get him? Grazed the knuckle. Got the yellow glove on the...
I don't think he's going to get that call, though.
He's getting the call.
Is he?
Yeah, he got it. He's on his way to first.
Wow.
Hit the lead if he off doesn't have yellow gloves, like
I don't know if you could see that. You're right.
Yeah. I think the gloves helped him get that call.
Julio Urias is for the Dodgers. Luis.
Have you noticed that a lot of batters, more batters, are wearing the
colorful
gloves to help with that?
It is interesting to me. I don't mind it. What I don't like is where some guys have done this that aren't the colors of their team. Like Acuna wears the gold gloves. Francisco Lindor wears, you never know what color he's coming out with. I guess they're trying to encourage the players to have more personality. But to me, that's a little bit of a gray area. How much do you allow when it's not your team colors?
Right.
I don't know.
Mike Vrabel was asked about the workload of Derrick Henry. And I don't know what you want the head coach to say. I mean, the head coach is not going to say what we can say on this show is, guys, without that workload and without Derrick Henry, we don't stand a chance. It doesn't matter who we're playing in the NFL. They're just simply not going to win unless they're given a heavy dose of Derrick Henry. So I don't know how they're going to get out of this all season long. I mean, I get it. We've talked about what he's on pace for. I don't know what the actual number is going to be. I think it's pretty clear right now. It's going to be more than last year, right? And we were sitting here talking about before the season, like it's got to be less than 387, right? Like what if it's around the 350-ish mark? It's not. I mean, I don't know how they get below 400.
Well, below
if he plays
below 400
all the games.
Right now they're on pace for 480 with 17 games, and that's for a 17-game regular season. The idea for this team is to not have the season be over at 17. So you're thinking 483, which would shatter a record. Of course, they've never played a 17-game season before in the history of the league. So you have that going in. If they were to get, let's just round it down to 450, that would still be the record. And then to win what you want, you're going to have to win two, three postseason games. I don't think right now they're pacing to have a bye in the first round. You never know.
Well, only the top seed gets.
Yeah,
gets
so you got to win three postseason games to get to the Super Bowl. So we're talking a ridiculous amount of touches. So is it humanly possible? They might test it because if there is a guy that's superhuman, it's him. So, Chase, your theme all day, like there's only one reason they're 3-2 at this point, and that's him. He's carried it, so you could really make the case that he's the MVP, even with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You take away the quarterbacks, I don't think there's any question. There's nobody that's more valuable to their team.
Do you think outside of this market that he's even in discussion for MVP?
That always is a good question. You know, when you get the announcers they got yesterday and, you know, you're not in the feet. They kind of went off the radar when they got smoked the first week.
Right.
I don't think there's a lot of people. I think it's a given that he's the best running back and all that, but I think you really have to watch them to understand how much he's elevating everything else for them right now.
I mean, to me,
with all the other things they have going wrong that they're trying to manage through.
To me, there's, you know, Josh Allen is certainly, I think, probably the leader in the clubhouse. Dak is definitely in the conversation, but why wouldn't he be? with what he's doing right
because
now.
Because he's just as valuable to his team as they are to that, those teams.
Wait, you mean
just because don't you think it says something that a running back can be as valuable as a quarterback
right.
that, in this day and age?
Henry is the most valuable player to the Tennessee Titans right now. There's only two
running backs in the league that command that, and that is because, by the way, Dalvin Cook was not in the lineup yesterday, and they won. Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry are the only two running backs in the league where if they're not in the lineup, and Carolina's proven it, if they're not in the lineup, they can't win. Now, the Titans luckily haven't had to deal with that because Derrick Henry has been upright and available. But I still think we can sit here and realize, even if he's not in the lineup, even though we haven't seen it, they're not winning games without him. There's only two running backs in the league that can say that. There's a whole lot of quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterbacks on teams where, as valuable as they are, that we know, but there's a whole lot of them, right? Like if the Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers, they're a lousy team. If the Chargers don't have Justin Herbert, they're a lousy team. If the Bucs don't have Tom Brady, they're a lousy team. Same goes with Patrick Mahomes. We can go on and on. Josh Allen, all the good teams, it kind of goes without saying. Like, they wouldn't be where they are if it wasn't for their quarterback. So I don't say that should lessen it, but the fact is you can only name two running backs in the entire league where if they're not in there, their team can't keep winning at the clip that they do. So it should mean more, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree. And I mean, and right now, if you had to name the MVP pool, I think we just named three of them.
And Kyler Murray's in that mix.
Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, it's all quarterbacks.
Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's made a case.
If you take the quarterbacks aside, who else would be in there?
I think that's Darren's point. I mean, you can't.
That, I don't think there is one, point. Right? Is
that's
Aaron Donald? Aaron Donald might get some consideration.
No.
I mean, Aaron Donald.
I mean, it's so hard to play defense now. You have to consider that if you're making the impact on the game that he is, that should be considered.
Right, but he's got competition for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes, he does.
I mean, has anybody seen what Trayvon Diggs has been doing?
It's pretty good.
Six picks?
He's got pretty good hands.
And some would say, well, that's because Donald is giving him.
Well, they don't play together. So.
Well, Donald's they used to play doing, together, right?
No, they didn't. Trayvon Diggs is a second-year player.
Wait, who am I thinking of, though?
You're thinking of Jalen Ramsey.
No. Who does Diggs play for?
The Cowboys.
Okay, isn't there a Diggs on the Seattle that used to play for the Rams? I thought that's who you're saying. I haven't kept track.
Diggs brothers?
Yeah. Well, you got Calvin Diggs, who I play basketball with in the morning. I got a lot of Diggs. I got a lot of wires getting crossed here. I got all names here.
We're
taking a lot of Diggs. I deserve some Diggs on the show because I got my wires crossed.
A lot of shells.
I can't dig out of this hole, can I?
The guy we're talking about was a second-round pick from Alabama.
Yes, absolutely.
And Nick said he told the story yesterday of how disappointed he was, and he called his brother Stephon Diggs, that how disappointed he was when Saban switched him from wide receiver to corner.
Yep.
And I'd say that Nick Saban looks pretty smart.
Yeah. That's a big story in the league is that the Dallas defense has gone from being the worst – to pretty good.
And oh, by the way, what'd they do also? Was it just
they drafted personnel? They drafted the entire draft. It was defense.
Well, no, yeah, but they did something else too. Chase, what did they do? There was
change coordinators.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you were going with that. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Change coordinators. Oh, what, a former head coach?
But they did use Dan Quinn, six consecutive that's kind of picks been proven? On defense.
They a did, but Dan, but Dan Quinn, that's the best move they've
made. Dan Quinn was a good pickup.
Don't tell me Dan Quinn does not play. I do not want to hear that the coach has nothing to do with this. Give me a break on that. Okay, Dan Quinn has a lot to do with this.
Well,
Dan Quinn is a proven defensive coordinator, a guy that's been a head coach in this league, a successful one, and he does play a big part in this. I'm just kind of tired of playing off like coaches don't matter. Coaches do matter. They do. Coaches do make have
who was arguing
impact.
The coaches don't matter?
I think we've had the argument here on the show. Like
what?
It's, Yes.
Well, somebody argued on this show that the coaches don't matter?
I think we tend to slough off that coaches aren't a deal, don't play a part.
We
in
had a pretty
when
heated
something
debate
looks one way or the other.
Last week about
who was
Todd
arguing that the coaches aren't a big deal?
You were not on the same page as us about Todd Downing last week when we were.
That doesn't mean I don't think he's a big deal. I think the coaches are a very big deal. But the question, I think sometimes we don't give the coaches a little bit of leeway when there are circumstances with injuries and whatnot where you got to give them a little slack. It's not an easy job. And I think we're also always quick to doubt a non-big name guy. Whereas a Dan Quinn, who's done a lot of winning, it's like, oh yeah, he gets. Now, I do think that the way they drafted has really helped infuse some life and talent into that defense. Fair to say?
Have they had injuries?
Shane Bowen doesn't have that. Shane Bowen hasn't gotten any. He can't get the first round pick of the
fifth last week.
Yeah, they did.
They had injuries on defense? Yeah, they have. It's not like they've.
The draft. The draft. The players. I didn't say anything about injuries. I said they have gotten an infusion of youth and talent when you use your first six picks on draft picks. And you know what? They're pretty good. They drafted well. Shane Bowen doesn't get that.
I don't know how do we know that?
And Shane Bowen's number one ace guy that they signed a lot of money for has not been healthy. So it's a little different set of circumstances that you're judging on.
Yeah.
I'd also like to see the Titans play against the Eagles offense and the Giants and football team offenses. They're not quite as good as some of the offenses that the Titans have played.
Well, Elijah Molden has been a healthy scratch, and he was out there yesterday. He looked like he should be out there.
Made a big play.
Hopefully.
Well,
hopefully he keeps getting better.
He's been a healthy scratch. So, I mean.
Well, because he got torched the first couple games.
Okay. I'm just simply saying I think we have kind of sloughed off that coaches, you know, big deal, not a big deal. And
nobody has ever said coaches aren't a big deal. You're putting words out there that are just not true. Nobody has ever said coaches are not a big deal.
I know who he's talking about. I mean, that's directed towards a social media. But, I mean, there are some that will slough off that, you know, it's all about personnel and that not as much about coaching. And I agree with what Darren says about Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn was the best move the Cowboys made this year.
Look, that is a home run right now. They look like they are a completely different mentality, confidence level. The whole thing has changed there.
Mike McCarthy's a meathead, as you like to say, Darren. And, you know, there's clock management kills me.
They're doing this in spite of Mike McCarthy.
They are, but offensively, he does bring some good things.
He does.
And I think that has helped Dak, where Jason Garrett had just gotten to the point where it wasn't going to be it wasn't going to go anywhere else.
Yep. I will agree on when it comes to offense, yeah. He's still a meathead though.
He
has no clue how to manage the clock at all. And he's been a head coach for how long?
Long time.
How does that not get better over time?
How does he only have one ring?
Yeah. We'll see. Cowboys look for real, by the way.
Yeah.
Look like the real deal. We'll see. All right, we'll come back, wrap up Monday's show next. Little AIC bringing us back from the break. How about Mick Jagger roaming the streets of Nashville this weekend? It's pretty cool, huh?
That's awesome.
Videoing that. It's putting it out there for everybody to see. Just him walking around on Broadway and nobody realizing it's him. He's wearing a mask, of course, so it was pretty easy for him to hide. I think he had a ball cap on and a mask. But, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, how many people walked by Mick Jagger
awesome.
And had no clue?
I mean, I could have.
I think we've talked about this before. I think I've brought it up. It is crazy to think, right, like how many times we've done that in our life that we didn't realize we were standing next to or walked by and had no clue that happened. You know? I mean, you know it's happened. Many, many times. There's no doubt that we have all walked by someone really, really famous and had no clue. Or stood right next to somebody who's really, really famous and had no clue. It's happened. Guarantee it. Because there's a lot of people that, you know, if you've if you don't know for sure what they look like, they look a lot different in person. I mean, I'll never forget the first time I went to Vegas. I sat at a blackjack table about 3 o'clock in the morning, and Pete Rose was sitting there, and it took me a good bit to figure out it was Pete Rose because he looked like he was about 98 years old.
Was he?
He looked different in person.
Was he up or down?
Was he up or down?
Well, you said, didn't you say you saw him in Vegas?
Yeah.
So I mean, you can probably.
Sometimes
you know, if you're down, you look 98 years old.
So. Well, he had two girls with him. We were all having a good time. So I don't think he really cared.
Even if he was down and he was up.
Yeah. Thank you, Elisha. That's what threw me off, Chase. Just so you know. Thank you. I was like, what? Excuse me? What? Watch your mouth.
All right, base hit for the Braves. This is good. Adam Duvall.
Ian Anderson got out of a huge jam in the top of the fifth. Second and third, nobody out. They got out of the inning with no runs, and now they have a leadoff hit. And Freddie Peralta has been taken out, and they go to Adrian Houser, the sinker baller. Big, big game in Atlanta. Big one.
I got a text on my text line from WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You try to guess who texted me this. I once walked by Gary Coleman and didn't know it. If you've been around this person, you know exactly who sent that. Willie, you should know this. If you don't, then I'm just going to leave it alone.
Should I know this?
You haven't been around this person as much as us over the years.
Okay.
You've been around him enough. But
Person old enough to remember who Gary Coleman is?
Yeah. That person is our age.
Okay, well, then there's probably no excuse for that then.
Yeah.
If it was Chase's age, then I would say, well, you know, maybe you didn't watch Different Strokes.
Mm-hmm. I was getting my hair cut on Friday, and I don't know what channel they had it on, but Three's Company was on, and I was sitting there going, oh, my gosh.
It's
been a long time since I've watched Three's Company.
I'll be waiting for you.
That was another show.
I can get sucked into a episode of Three's Company.
Isn't it weird, though, when you watch it now, though?
Oh, all of those shows
are. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh.
A lot of them have not aged very well, and some of them have. That's why you appreciate the ones that have. Like, you know, Seinfeld is now on Netflix, so you can just go binge watch all those. Cheers. There's that rarefied air of the sitcoms that are still really effective however many years later.
No, Three's Company. See,
there's a lot of politically incorrect stuff that comes up on those shows.
But I grew up, like, you know.
That you would never go there now, you know.
I watched a lot of Nick at
Night.
Like
the Jeffersons.
Or TV Land, yeah.
Maybe wouldn't play well in 2021.
All in the Family.
Yeah, All in the Family.
All in the Family would be at the top of the list.
In 2021.
And the Jeffersons was a spinoff of All in the Family.
Yeah.
Archie Bunker. He was a character. But yeah, I grew up watching TV Land, so I watched a lot of those shows. John Ritter on Three's Company? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
First and second, no outs. Dansby Swanson, a base hit.
Bottom of the fifth.
The tomahawk chop is going.
Well,
can they actually do something?
They don't officially do that anymore.
No.
Not officially, but they're doing it.
Yeah, but they are.
They were not prompted. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Enjoy the rest of your beautiful Monday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.